Hi everyone, I'm Jessica Steyer. I'm a doctoral candidate in public health at CUNY Graduate Center, and I was hired as a consultant to help with the qualitative arm of this health needs assessment in Nassau County. I don't have any disclosures. So when I did a search of what literature had been done in suburban health prior to this, I saw that most articles had focused on the built environment, the physical environment. So we know that a spread out suburban design facilitates reliance on automobiles, increased pollution, decreasing time spent walking, low densities, poor street connectivity, and the lack of sidewalks are associated with decreased physical activity and an increased risk of being overweight or obese. And ubiquitous fast food restaurants, sprawl, and substandard housing may contribute to obesity, asthma, and other health problems and disparities. Our research, we really wanted to focus more on the social, cultural, and economic factors that may influence health. So the Nassau County Department of Health and the Nassau County Hospitals joined together to conduct this community health needs assessment that Dr. Buckman has already described to you. Our goal, again, was to identify priorities, goals, and opportunities for improvement, ultimately, of course, to improve the health in Nassau County, Long Island. So again, as you've already heard, Nassau County really represents a dichotomy. It has some of the healthiest and the sickest residents in the nation. Health disparities exist within and between the different townships of varying socioeconomic composition in Nassau County. And again, you've already heard an overview of some of these disparities, but just to summarize, infant mortality, cancer mortality, and homicide rates are much higher for blacks than whites, and Latinos have much higher rates of teen pregnancy, tuberculosis, and deaths from injuries, just to name a few of the health disparities. So again, this is the qualitative arm of the health needs assessment. Key informant interviews were conducted with CBO leaders to identify some of the most pressing health needs in the hopes of developing strategies ultimately to meet those needs. Interviewers who conducted these key informant interviews were representatives from the hospitals, academic partners, and were from the county health department. And anyone who conducted the interviews, they were required to attend a training session just to ensure that there were consistency across the interviewing process. So how did we choose which CBOs were interviewed? There was a CBO subcommittee, which consisted of academic and clinical collaborators, and they were charged with developing the list of CBOs to be interviewed. And really, the emphasis was placed on CBOs that addressed one of the following populations: minorities, the medically underserved, seniors, women's children's services, special populations, and individuals with disease-specific conditions. And ultimately, there was a list of 17 CBOs who ultimately participated in these interviews. Participants were asked open-ended questions about their organization and the population served, which really allowed for rich feedback, and we really were able to hear from the community what they felt the community needs were. So basically, just we asked them to identify the biggest health problems, prioritize health issues, describe factors that affect healthcare received, any barriers that exist, and ways to improve services and programs. So the interview included questions. It was framed by New York State's five prevention agenda priorities, which are chronic disease, healthy and safe environment, healthy women, infants, and children, mental health and substance abuse, and HIV, STD, and vaccine preventable diseases. I only focus on those three with the asterisk because those seem the most relevant to this particular talk. But we did receive so much rich feedback that is available in the health needs assessment report that Dr. Buckman had referenced. So I actually conducted the qualitative data analyses. I used Atlas TI software to code the data and to identify prevalent and emergent themes. So I'll present some of those themes to you now, as well as some relevant quotes that I think might highlight some of the issues. So with regard to healthy and safe environment, here are some of the themes that we heard. Food deserts exist in low SES neighborhoods. We have to increase access to nutritious food options to reduce food insecurity. Poor dietary habits exist among minority and low SES populations, and that they're due in part to cultural norms. The participants spoke quite a bit about the Hispanic community in particular and some of their dietary habits that were linked to some cultural traditions. and we need more outreach to low SES and minority populations to provide education about nutrition and healthy food practice. So here's the quote that I pulled, and I won't read everything, but basically, here's the quote from Sustainable Long Island, the CBO in Nassau County. People don't have access to healthy foods without farmers market. Generally, the people in these communities don't have a car, and they can't get to a supermarket easily. All they have access to is the local bodega. High sodium, high fat, not good healthy choices, no fresh produce, or very limited choices. And this issue of transportation, not having a car, is something that I'll come back to in a few moments. Okay, with regard to healthy and safe environment, Hurricane Sandy has increased cases of unsafe living environments. For example, mold came up quite a bit in the interviews, particularly among low SES minority and immigrant populations. Environmental justice issues are prevalent among low SES housing, such as water quality, the built environment, and outdoor air quality. And low socioeconomic populations may not have access to safe spaces to exercise and stay active. So here's another quote from Sustainable Long Island. From our environmental justice work, we see much, much higher rates of asthma in some of the environmentally disadvantaged areas. I would say certainly asthma and certainly cancer are high priorities as far as the environmental justice issues. Some of them are living in houses with mold. They still have asbestos. They still have lead. Around mental health and substance abuse, I should mention that these interviews were, they took place shortly after Hurricane Sandy, which hit the area pretty hard. And we learned that there was an increase in substance abuse and mental health issues post-hurricane. So here's a quote, in Long Beach especially, a huge amount of the immigrant Hispanic population lost their homes. They're living in temporary housing. We're seeing a huge problem with domestic violence and drug dependency, mental health, stress, anxiety, and drug use. Other issues that were identified, I absolutely have to highlight transportation. It came up in I'd say the majority of the interviews, if not all of the interviews, brought up transportation. So the inadequate public transportation system on Long Island is a major barrier to accessing health care as well as accessing healthy foods and just in general branching out and access in general. So here's a quote from the American Cancer Society. Getting to the actual treatment is a major barrier to care because some patients can be going for radiation every day and they rely on family members to take them. That's something we've seen a lot. Same thing with chemotherapy. They can be there every few weeks, some every day, and it's a family member that has to take them. I have to pull another quote from transportation, if only to highlight how frequently it came up in the interviews. This is a quote from FEGS. Accessibility. Getting transportation in Long Island and Nassau County is a nightmare. Even though we have a system called Able Ride, sometimes it's better to bang your head into a wall because you make the appointment, you have to know in advance to make the appointment, then you sit and wait until they pick you up. Then they go on to talk about if you have mobility issues, you can't get to the car. They don't leave the car to take the patients into the car, so that's a problem. You're oftentimes sitting in a van with multiple people who may have an active virus or the flu, and you're taking your life in your hands oftentimes when you go to the doctor that way. Another major issue that was identified are language barriers. A growing segment of the population does not speak English fluently, which of course affects the quality of care provided due to poor communication with providers and patients. I did pull another quote from Project Independence, and they talk about how we do have some services available in Spanish and in Farsi. However, they go on to say, those are two of many languages spoken in the town of North Hempstead, so we recognize there are communities we're not able to reach just yet. Another issue that was identified is lack of awareness of resources available across healthcare providers and CBOs. Something that we refer to as the silo effect, and that's across the different townships on Long Island. And I won't read this quote, but basically it seems that providers are not aware of some of the resources that are available through different CBOs, so really we need more communication and to break down those silos across the different organizations. So with regard to recommendations to improve services and programs, these are recommendations made by the CBOs in the interviews. Improve transportation services, funding for transportation and in-home services. improve access to healthy foods through farmers markets and supermarkets in low SES areas, a focus on low SES neighborhoods that are masked by the idea that suburban communities are affluent. And this is something that Dr. Buckman had spoken about earlier, that there's this idea that Nassau County as a whole is affluent, but really if you look, there are pockets that are in great need. Increased collaboration and partnerships among hospitals and CBOs, so basically breaking down the silos. So this is the last quote, and I'll end shortly after this. This is from the United Way. I really would like to see more coordination and collaboration. It would be nice to see that as a region, we're really taking care of some of the people with lower income, because everyone sees us as a very affluent area, and for that reason, they tend to not allocate that many resources. But we're also not coming together as one voice, really identifying the problems, what the problems are, and advocating for them in a coordinated way. I think that's where we need to go long term if we're truly going to address these issues. Then this particular participant and other participants were talking about how some of the issues in our neighboring town, in neighboring counties such as Suffolk County or Queens County or New York City in general are creeping into Nassau County, and we really need to monitor that and the impact that it's having on Nassau County residents' health. Again, increase communication across organizations to ensure visibility of programs and resources available. And that goes for townships within Nassau County, but again, reaching out to neighboring counties that are nearby, such as Suffolk County and Queens County, and perhaps developing a task force with members from various organizations, which would be helpful to brainstorm additional ideas and solutions. So in conclusion, much of the previous research in suburban health has focused more on the built environment. We hope that this research has identified some of the social, cultural, and economic factors that may have an influence in suburban health, specifically transportation, masked low SES and high-need populations, language barriers, the cultural influence, and the silo effect. So thank you.